Coronavirus forces more travel restrictions, hitting operations of a growing number of businesses. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Google is temporarily closing its offices in China, while Samsung and Toyota have extended their Chinese factory closures. It's not clear how many people will go back to work next week, with travel restricted for millions of people across the country. Travel journalist Simon Calder explains the long-term impact that could have on the travel industry.
We've already seen airlines cancelling a large number of flights to and from China. Partly they're doing it in the case of, for instance, British Airways, because they are concerned about the health of their crew who would need to remain in China between flights. But mainly it's commercial. They have just seen the numbers of passengers on flights going to and from China just vanish. Some flights which are less than one third full, and this is an industry which requires planes to be at least three quarters full simply to break even. There's other really interesting effects. So if you want to travel from California to Singapore, then you can get plenty of flights for $400 round trip if you are prepared to fly on one of the Chinese airlines via Shanghai or Guangzhou.
If you are traveling internationally, what are some of the best practices to follow?
I would just follow very good personal travel hygiene, which is mostly to do with washing your hands frequently, scrupulously, keeping your distance from other people, particularly if they look unwell. Of course, all of that difficult to do on board an aircraft, and that's where a lot of attention is being focused.
Simon Calder of the Independent newspaper, thank you.
Thank you.
The World Health Organization meets again today to determine whether the coronavirus outbreak poses a global health emergency. That's helped send fresh shivers through financial markets. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is down 0.6%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was the biggest decliner in Asia, down more than 2.5%. Stocks on mainland China are still closed for Lunar New Year. At a press conference following the Federal Reserve's rate decision, Chair Jerome Powell said the coronavirus outbreak is a very serious issue. Yael Selfin, KPMG's chief UK economist, says at the Bank of England's rate decision today, policymakers are also likely to discuss the virus's economic impact.
The coronavirus is likely to have some impact on the global economy beyond the Chinese economy. It's just a question of how severe that impact is going to be, and no one knows at this stage.
When it comes to UK rate policy, investors are on the fence about whether the bank will cut rates today. Why is that?
We've had some data that shows a potential weakness in the UK economy, and we've heard from some of the members that they think a cut now would act as an insurance policy against further deterioration in the economy. I think it's premature to cut rates now. They do need to leave some of the ammunition for later.
This is Mark Carney's last meeting as governor. What set of challenges is he handing over to his successor, Andrew Bailey?
Well, they have very little that they can actually play with on interest rates. There's a lot of uncertainty around when the UK actually have an agreement with the EU. So we're likely to see quite a lot of uncertainty over this year. And it's difficult to judge how much and how that uncertainty will impact businesses and households.
Yael Selfin, KPMG's chief UK economist. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beverage giant Diageo warned today global trade uncertainty will weigh on sales this year. That's as the maker of Crown Royal Whiskey reported sales growth in major markets, including Africa, one of its biggest growth areas. The BBC's Will Bain has more.
In the early 2000s, Africa Rising became, well, something of a theme for international companies looking to expand their brands across the continent. But a commodity crisis 6 years ago made the growing middle class pull back on all non-essential spending, which forced corporations to rethink their strategy. One of those companies was the British beer and spirits maker Diageo, the owner of brands like Guinness, Johnny Walker and Smirnoff Vodka. They began to experiment with new ways to try and tap into the wallets of the more cautious, perhaps even savvier consumer. As I found out when I sat down with the company's Africa president, John O'Keefe, at Diageo's London headquarters.
With the commodity crisis in 2014, which hit a lot of African countries quite hard, we certainly had to adapt our strategy. We've made products available at different price points. And interestingly enough, that's forced us to use even more local raw materials. So we've got a brand like Senator in Kenya, which is 100% made of local sorghum, and that allows us to kind of sell at a much more affordable price point.
You talked about Kenya, and I think that's a really interesting project because you took quite a big risk building the brewery that you did near Kisumu. A lot of money sunk in. Has that been a success, I guess?
Yeah, well, look, when we were quite a big player in Kenya, and what we understood was about 40% of consumers are illicit or home brew, and so a lot of these brews are bad for your health. People can go blind, people can die, and so how do we together figure out how to make an affordable beer? And we have this brand called Senator, which you can make a mug available for about 30 US cents. The great thing is that brewery that we've just built has created over 15,000 jobs with local small-sized farmers that we're now contracted and taking all their crops.
And you brew slightly differently, some of your products, don't you? Guinness, for example, has a slightly different recipe than if me or you went out here in London and bought one right now.
Actually, we exported Guinness for the first time out of Dublin in the 1820s to Sierra Leone. To survive the sea journey, we had to brew to a higher strength, so 7.5% ABV, which is much stronger than the Guinness you and I would be drinking. And to this day, that is essentially the same Guinness we have, so it's kind of carbonated, so it's kind of more bubbly, whereas Guinness that we consume in the pubs of Dublin, London and so forth is nitrogenated, it's more smooth. But it's an amazing liquid, it's a great beer, and African consumers love it. And every time we kind of tend to say, you know, we do some research on the Guinness we have in London, it gets rejected.
John O'Keefe from Diageo, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Will.
Bottoms up to that. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.